Welcome back to Big Daddy Cade, Blues You Can Use. The blues train keeps rolling on with more live music and fun times ahead. Let's have a listen.
Those Joe Walls, nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
She started out in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
You know, and just, it's a long story, but yes.
I love Joe's stuff. Him, you know, Steve Miller, he always had a great band and was an excellent player. So, you know, those two guys for electric stuff, Jerry Garcia, you know, the Dead were around for a long time prior to that, and a lot of good guitar work in there. So that's kind of influency where it started, you know, and then, you know, for me, it went to all the blues masters, you know, Buddy and BB and Freddie King.
And
Albert Collins and Albert King. And
you got to put Stevie on that list, too, because he was definitely a blues guy.
Well, you know, but he didn't come around, when, the 80s?
Yeah,
maybe mid-80s,
you know,
that is
true.
Yeah, and certainly
what he did, he taught young musicians it's okay to play the blues.
Oh yeah,
I'm young.
Yeah,
and
when he
started playing licks like Albert King,
right?
Well, what he did, he put a little bite on, a little Texas bite, and it became kind of like, almost like rock, but it wasn't. But at the same time, he had his own flair on it. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I've watched you play in many different places. I like your style, your technique that you use.
Thank you.
And you're a very talented man,
you know.
And I said, well, I told my co-host, I said, well, we need to get Mr. Gill on the show. I say, he's somebody that people need to know about where he's at. I'm pretty sure he has his own thing with the internet, this and that. But this station right here helps a lot of musicians. What I try to do about this station, like yourself and myself and my co-host, we try to have people on here that does original material, just like you have a lot over there. You have CDs, which we're going to talk about that, and quite a few things that you do, you know. And I noticed the ways that, you know, you play it quite a bit around in the Charleston area. Plus, some of your band members told me that you play up north sometime with some of your musician friends up there.
Yeah,
tell me about that.
Before coming down here, I was living in Maine for 10 years, and so I developed a big network up there. And one of the things I was involved with, it was called the Maine Blues Festival. And it was all Maine people that would perform. And, you know, my band was playing everywhere. So I actually got involved to help organize it because I knew the guy that was kind of heading it up. And, you know, if you've ever been involved in something like that, you know how much work it is to put something like that together. It's a huge amount of work. And so I just kind of volunteered. I said, Kevin, whatever you need me to do. And so I got involved. You know, I'd go to all the meetings. I'd help where I could and all that. And when I was looking to move, again, this was after 10 years up there, he said, hey, man, anytime you want to come back for the festival, come on up and you'll be in. So every June, because it's a Father's Day weekend festival, so every June I kind of center a trip up there around Father's Day weekend, and my buddy Dwayne Hartman Asdorian, he's probably not going to hear this because he's down in Florida right now, but he and I put together a little tour, and we put together, you know, half a dozen or so dates centered around the Maine Blues Festival.
Right.
And so I go up there and spend a few weeks. Another buddy up in Bangor, he does this thing called Chords for Cure. He's an orthopedic surgeon. And I met him actually in Minnesota. We both lived in Rochester, Minnesota. And we got together there. And we did our band there. We were Mojo Bones.
The old North Star Bar, huh?
Yeah, you've been in the North Star?
Many a time.
Nice.
There, that's great. Yeah.
And Kathy's Pub.
Yes, Kathy's Pub.
Kathy's Pub smoking.
Oh, yeah, Kathy's Pub. I probably played that maybe about three times.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it was a fun place.
That's
a
great.
A big spot, though, kind of off on the side where your stage is at, but it's pretty cool. Yeah. But the people really respect the music down there.
Yeah, it was a good little town for it. I will give it this, that upper Midwest is just way more about classic rock than blues band. You know, we did okay because we'd get kind of rocking at times. We did actually, Ian, the guy who's up in Bangor now, he's like this huge Stones fanatic. So we did a lot of Stones. And of course, you know, the Stones, that first song we did, the Stones covered that. Mm-hmm. You know, they just wanted to be the best blues band in England, getting started. And so we do a lot of their stuff, mm-hmm. As well. That's what I do with Ian. And so that kind of finishes up the trip up north every year with we've done the 4th of July show mm-hmm. in Bangor for the last several years. And this is with a bunch of friends. And all we play is Stones. And these guys all come down from Montreal. And we have a big band. We have like 7 or 8 or 9 pieces depending
on
who can show up. And it's a ton of fun.
That's great, man. That's great. Yeah, but like I say, you know, you've been around and you know quite a bit of stuff, you know. Because like my other co-host told me about you. He said, well, Big Daddy. I said, yeah. He said, you need to get Mr. Gill on the show. He's somebody you need to have on the show. I say, okay, Jeep. I say, you know Mr. Gill better than I do. I say, I just only know him from playing with the Low Billies is what I know.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah. I said, okay, cool. And so, yeah, I'm glad you're here today.
Yeah, it's great being here.
And what I want to talk about is Boots has some questions for you about some of your stuff over here that you have on the table, some of your stickers, right. CDs, and all of that good stuff.
Oh, I brought it all.
There you go. Yeah. You can tell us about some of the songs on there.
And, yeah, I'll have to look at it and remember exactly what's on there. I do some of these during the course of a night, and a bunch of my. So this oldest disc was a Denver band. We were together for a good 10 years there, and we had a horn section, and sometimes we'd have keyboard and stuff. We'd go out as a 3-piece sometimes, and that was actually the origination of Poke Chop and the Other White Meats, is the Phantom Freeway band, which was the big band. We'd go out as a 3-piece and we'd just go out as a Poke Chop and the Other White Meats. But this was the first disc. We did this in, I think it was 1999. Is that the copyright on this thing? Yeah, 1999. And it was called Calling in Rich, because that's kind of the title song.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's about a guy who wants to play the lottery or go to the track or play the sweepstakes, all of that stuff, and then he, then the next day he'll call his boss and say, "Hey man, I'm calling in rich," and not show back up again. So maybe we can do that. It does a couple of funny things, but some songs about just living out there. I got Mile High, which is just kind of about Denver and the city itself. Mm-hmm. Styling on Market is again sort of about downtown. Floyd Hill. Floyd Hill is the road that I-70 takes out of Denver going up into the mountains.
Oh, yeah.
And early on in that band's evolution, I was driving a VW bus. That was the band vehicle. And here I am driving that sucker up I-70 going into the mountains. And it had about, 12 horsepower and could barely make it up that hill. And and that talks about Chief Hossa is one of the hills. And you got to, I got to put in third. So, you got to gear down to get it up that thing.
That's pretty good.
So, yeah, that's Floyd Hill. And then one about Vegas in here, having fun where there is none.
Well, there you go.
So that was the first one. That was 9 tunes, and that was all original stuff. The second one here I got is, again, it was Poke Chop and the Other White Meats, called Pork Pie Special. And if you look at the disc, you'll see that there's a pork pie on there.
Yeah, I see that.
How did you get that nickname? Can you tell us that?
It was a night of drinking after rehearsal. And I don't know where. I think I was making fun of a friend of mine who would always call chunky people pork chop.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I thought, well, that's You know, you got to get the I forget what the word is, you know, kind of a dialectical thing. And it's, but it's poke chop, you know, it's like, cook me up a poke chop, would you? So, yeah, so that's kind of became my stage name. The art on this one was done by the trumpet player from, or okay. the trombone player from this band. He was a really great artist.
That is wonderful. That is a great picture.
Yeah, it I told really him is. I wanted a pig with attitude.
And that it's one has attitude. That.
Yeah, and you can see that on the sticker
on your
there.
Stickers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty
so,
cool.
So, yeah, so we called this Pork Pie Special. That was the disc. I got a couple of things. They kind of got a little bit of a New Orleans flair to a couple of the things on here. A couple of these were written by my buddy Chad, who was the bass player in that band.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and one of them that didn't make it on here that's on the other one there, the little little square guy there.
Yeah,
that guy was that we actually recorded it in Memphis. We had gone to Memphis for the IBC from Maine, and we went to Sun Studio when we booked 3 hours in there.
Sun Studio, yes.
Did a single in there. Yeah, it was which one was it here? It was Sweet Pea Boogie. That's what it was. And that was about meeting somebody on a cruise ship.
Speaking of a cruise ship, you play on a cruise ship, don't you?
Yeah, we're actually doing a harbor cruise.
Yes.
What's today? Tuesday? So Thursday.
Fine
day. Day after tomorrow. Yeah, yeah. It's the load in is a little bit problematic, especially if it's low tide and you gotta haul everything up the stairs. Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, it's fun. You have a bit of a captive crowd. It's it's nice. You can play outside, you can play inside. I guess pretty much rain or shine, especially when the weather's warm. If the weather's cooler, they might not go. But yeah, we've done that several times. It's a lot of fun. People enjoy it, you know, get a good crowd that's there ready to party.
Yes, so. Make sure you got your equipment, speakers duct taped down the super. The big old wave come up.
Yeah,
I don't care who you are, he's going to push you over.
I imagine the wrong day could be an issue. Set the stand on wide stance.
Yeah, you do.
Tell me a little bit about these stickers that you have here. I see one that's got a harmonica on there.
I do, yeah. Well, I'm working with a guy, Al Mahan, and I met him at the jam, the blues jam here in town. And I had told him, Al, when you're ready to get out playing, you know, let me know, I'll audition. And he said, yeah, you don't have to audition. So, Al Mahan, and it's we're Albert in the Smoking Section. And we got Al Mahan. He lives out this direction.
You know what? If he's listening to WVFF 97.7, Steve, you can listen to us. If you hear us, your buddy's going to give a big shout out.
That's right.
Say hello to your buddy out there in Radio Land.
Steve Byrne. He's excellent drummer. He's a good guy. Good guy. We like him.
Yeah.
So I got a sticker for Albert in the Smoking Section. I got a Poke Chop sticker there.
And a Low Billy.
And the Low Billies. That's the main band for me around here. We're three piece. We're playing all over the place whenever we can.
That's it.
Met most of these guys that I'm playing with around here at the Blues Jam, Sunday Blues Jam.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and what are the other dates that he has on there?
Palmetto Brewery.
Palmetto Brewery. Well, we're there fairly regular. What day do I have
it
on
says
there?
Friday the April 25th.
Yeah, they have us there pretty much every month. Works out well. It's nice. You can play at a good volume because you're outside most of the time.
That's
so
good.
You got good weather for that one.
Yeah.
Someday we'll come down and check you guys out.
Yeah.
And you know, me and Boots will come down and see.
And
what's
you
happening.
Play at Select. We play there as well.
Yeah, that's a fun place.
That's a nice place. Very classy.
It's very nice. Very classy place.
Yes.
Yeah. Very nice place. Gotta watch the volume in there.
Yeah,
but
you do. You
play long enough, it's not about the volume.
You're absolutely right.
That's a don't care.
Yeah.
But it's a very nice place. I haven't had a dinner in there yet, but it's a very classy joint.
Yes,
you're right. The volume is no problem, because growing up in Chicago, the old guys would tell me, young man, you got to know how to play with feeling.
Yeah.
You got to know how to play with your tone and your fingers and everything. and let the vocals and everything work together. Yeah. At that point, I didn't really know, but I was trying to get, you know, listen to what they were trying to tell me. And in a nutshell, it's just like, you don't need to be that loud, just like you say. It's just like, you still can get your point across being right there on the even.
They didn't want you playing with paddles either, did
no,
they?
No, no, no paddles in Chicago when I was growing up. I was trying to do a jam and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the old guys told me, hey, young man. I'm like, yeah. He said, well, you got all those paddles. What is that for? This is a blues jam.
Yeah.
I say, this is how I sound good. He said, no. Next person.
Ooh, really?
Them old guys didn't play, man, and said, like, look at here. You know, when you put all that stuff away and learn how to play with your fingers and the fretboard and learn how to, then you come on back.
Yeah.
And I learned how to do that, you know. He said, you ain't going to always use a pick to get your point, but you ain't going to be coming up here with all this stuff on.
Oh, I know. You know, when we were kids, the jam situation was so much different from now. I mean, I remember I'd go to jams when I first started going. You wouldn't get called up to play,
really?
You know. Oh, no, not at all. And then if you did and you didn't bring it, you were done. Maybe even in the middle of that first song.
It's like, okay, we just want you out of here, you know.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right, because they didn't play. They wanted the best. Because, you know, that's how these guys made their income.
Right.
Because if they got a decent jam, you know, then the people from out of town are going to be like, it was great. And then when you have a lot of crash and burn, it'd be like, uh-oh. But, you got to be able to do the right thing when you're playing there. And I agree with that, you know, as far as if you ain't doing what you're supposed to do, go home and woodshed a little bit. Boys and girls out there, woodshed means just practice. That's what that word means, you know. Internet, anywhere you can get it, you know, YouTube, go and get it. You know, you don't always need a teacher to try to teach you how to play.
That's it.
There's so much out there that you can do. Yeah, but Ryan, you have a great deal of music over there. I like that. That is so, so cool.
You know, it's not a ton, but it's more than none. You know, that's the way I look at it. I'll leave this as my bar. I keep a file on my computer, next disc, and right now it's woefully empty. I think I have one thing in there that it's going to be called, if I ever figure out how to do this one change, it'll be called Engineer of My Heart.
Engineer of My Heart, It's always nice to do original material.
Yeah.
But the hard thing is about doing your own material. Most of your band members might not know how to do that unless you sit down and actually teach them. Because I have like three albums out. One from Minneapolis, you know, down in Chicago, different places, you know. Well, it's okay. You know your material, but you can play it. But you try to throw that on the band members sometime.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, well, you like me. You'd be like, this is not how I recorded it. A lot of times you're not going to always get that.
Right.
You know? And it makes a difference sometimes as far as the feeling goes and how you feel about your material.
Right. And I try and get band members that understand that playing songs isn't about getting from the first note to the last note. It's about, you know, what do we feel like doing next? Well, I mean, me, because I'm singing, you know, 99% of them. So, you know, if I feel that it's time for a bridge or time for a chorus or time for a solo or whatever, that, you know, pay attention. And, you know, if I'm going to the bridge, I'll let you know we're going to the bridge. Yeah. If I'm going to, you know, I tell them A part, B part, or A part, B part, C part, or whatever, you know, and just say C part, and you got to know what that is.
That's
you know?
Right.
Right. If a guy just wants to learn a song from start to finish, it's like he's going to be in trouble because I'm going to go to the bridge where he's thinking we're going to a chorus or something, you know, or I'm staying on a verse longer or whatever. And it's like, you know, you got to be flexible and you got to be educated enough in how music works to do that.
Yeah,
that's what I look for.
Now I noticed when you play like at jams. A lot of people have a tendency to play the same songs at every jam, but you have a big variety, and very seldom do we ever hear
you play. Oh, that's good. I wonder about that.
the same thing over and over.
My secret it's right in my pocket. I keep on my phone a list. Oh, you'll love this. Because I have here, and it dates back probably 3 years now.
You must have a good memory on that.
I got a note here, Jam Night Songs, and it's the three or four that I've played every night, have them dated and all that. So if I go back to the beginning here, this goes back to 2022.
Wow.
Okay, March of 2022 is when I started doing this.
Okay. Right?
So that way I'm not playing the same three songs every week.
Right.
I just go back in here and I'll say, okay, there's three, and, you know, probably haven't done those in a while, and great.
That's always nice. When you go to a jam, if you hear the same songs over and over, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
But it's nice when people pop in and they're like, no, they haven't heard this one for a long time. I'm going to pull this one out, you know?
Definitely. And the thing that's frustrating for me in doing that is that that's still a pretty short list of stuff that I would do, I would play, because, you know, you got to keep it simple enough for the people that are going to be jamming, you know. You got to keep it to one or two or three chords. Whereas, you know, some of the stuff I like to do, you know, do that, and that's just the A part.
So like you say, everybody's got to be on the same page.
Yeah,
you know, hey, it's very important to just stay on the same page. And you try to call it sometime, but you don't want to be too G A B C D.
Right.
And, you know.
Well, so and you know, that's why I prefer the interval number. You know, I can just give them a four or a five or something. Five is tough, you know, because it's got to be my right hand, and I can't drop the pick, and that's not five. So it's,
true.
You got to do it that way.
And then you just go.
Yeah.
So
that always becomes a bit of a challenge. Yeah. And then if you're giving hand signals and nobody's watching, what good is that?
That's true, too. Yeah. Because, you know, you can be over here talking to some female over in the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you want to get paid tonight, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to, you know, like, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here, but we're going to be back.
That's all for this episode of the Big Daddy Cade Blues You Can Use show. Keep on grooving and join us next Tuesday for more blues guests, giveaways, and good times. Only here on WVFF 97.7 FM Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.